Victoria Woodhull, spiritualist, suffragist, free lover, and in her time, the most famous woman in the United States. In 1872, she ran for president. By the time of her death, she'd been nearly erased from history. Until now. Welcome to UMO Ensemble's Vic, the life and times of Victoria C. Woodhull, future presidentess. Episode 2, Step Right Up.
You cannot understand a woman's life by what she has accomplished. My friends, I must apologize. I did not introduce myself properly before. I am Victoria Claflin Woodhull, now Lady Martin. My daughter Zulu does not believe you are listening. Zulu is only comfortable with the world she can touch. I know you are listening. I have always communed with the spirit world like my mother before me. You may not be able to answer this yet. Would your world receive me? Not if you lived in Ohio. I have seen Ohio friends, and they are still not ready to receive me.
Mama.
So dusty.
Have some tea.
Under my collar. My fingernails always dirty.
I know.
So much you don't know your father.
Papa?
He dropped Byron.
Yes.
But not you.
No.
You were born April 12th, 1861, the same day as the war.
Yes.
Your daddy was drunk. Just like always, he almost killed us both.
He almost did.
He cut the cord, but didn't tie it off.
And then he left.
We almost bled to death.
We would have bled to death.
But I bit the cord.
You bit the cord and tied it off yourself.
Myself. You turned out perfect.
Yes.
Madam?
You are late, sir.
Well?
We have much to do.
Of course. You were 10 years old when we last cast our eyes back.
10 years old.
After your baptism into the family trade of fortune-telling, you support your family for the next 4 years.
And I continue to study, to intuit and foresee.
Victoria, your time comes.
My time?
The better world awaits.
A better world?
A new world.
Full of good.
You shall transform.
I need your help.
I cannot travel on your behalf.
Travel where?
You are capable of all, Victoria.
Capable of all?
Born to intuit and foresee.
Born to intuit and foresee?
Vicky, what you doing?
Hush! Oh, no!
I'm listening!
To him again?
Demosthenes! Come back!
I don't like him.
Hush up, Tenny!
A better world... capable, born to foresee. I shall raise the rivers from their toils and the women from their banks. Oh, no, wait.
What the heck?
I said wait!
I am born to raise the rivers from their banks and the women from their toils.
The rivers already raise up every darn spring, and it ain't good when it happens. It's a flood.
You don't know anything.
I do so, and I don't need some stupid spirit telling me to make a flood.
He said I'm going to do it, Tenny. I'm going to save the women from their toils.
Well, that'd be good, but I don't know how.
I am going to change the world, Tenny.
The world don't change, Vicky.
Who decides that?
It just don't.
Why? Who made the rules?
Who made the rules? You know who made them. The others who are older, the others who are boys.
The others with the money, the others with the toys.
And we are not in charge. No, we are not in charge.
But what if we were? What if we could make a new world?
Vicky!
Oh, I bet we'd make a
Tenny,
good one.
Where the hell are they, Ma?
World Christ of wonder. Sakes. A world full of good.
Ma, where are they?
I should know.
I got a whole throng of suckers behind me. We gotta get going.
I saw them hiding over behind them trees, Daddy.
Utica, it is your time for hide. Go on now.
Why do I always gotta be the sick one?
You get your behind in that crowd right now! And don't forget your line again.
Yes, Daddy.
Vicky, Tenny, I'm coming over there.
We'll make it, Tenny.
our own world.
And you'll be queen.
And you'll be the prettiest princess.
Royalty in my foot. You make a right mess, two little featherheads in charge. Tenny, get your sister dressed. Hmm? We got a good crowd showing up, and I got a hankering for a nice meal.
More like a nice bottle.
Come on, Vicky. Time to shine.
No. Ugh, I hate it.
Still gotta work. Let's get on your angel dress.
Hey, look sharp.
Step right up. Step right up. Step right up. Step right up. You, sir, you, ma'am, don't just sit there. Step right up.
Step right up, friends. Step right up. See the blessed Victoria, healer of all, as she uses her magic touch to sense what brings you pain.
What does she do?
Oh, she gets right in under your skin and sees your heart and your lungs and your blood.
My blood?
Well, blood gets tired, and blood gets old, and blood stops working when it grows real cold.
Real cold? Oh, my!
Oh, no. Now, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Let the blessed Victoria heal you, friends. Step right up and say it loud.
Step right up. Step right up. The only one you'll ever meet.
Who's got a pain?
I have a pain. A terrible pain.
Well, come right up and let her feel that pain.
Let me feel. Let me sense. Ooh, here. Ooh, it hurts. Here? I said, does it hurt here?
Oh, for Christ's sake. Where does it hurt, man?
Utica. Oh, it hurts right here.
Right where?
Right here, Dad.
Hush!
Let me feel. Oh, let me sense. Oh, no. Oh, no? Cancer. Oh, no. Cancer? Oh, no. Don't cry.
No, do not cry. Do not cry.
You shall be healed. Drink
this. Yes, right here. Yes, drink this.
Drink. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Oh, ow. It's gone. The pain, it's gone.
Oh, glory be.
Glory. Oh, God.
Oh, it drains her. It does. It does indeed drain her. She's right fainted away. But it's good news. Yes, it is. It is good news she has brought. You too can be healed. Cured from all ills with this here magical life elixir. And it's only $1 today.
$1 today?
Mm-hmm. Yes, just $1 today. So step right up, friends. Step right up, one and all.
Only $1 today. You're $1 away. Only $1 today. You're $1 away. Only $1 today. You're $1 away.
Victoria, the time is at hand.
The time?
The next world calls you. Breathe in readiness.
The next world.
Vicky!
I am ready.
Vicky! God damn it, I hate him! I hate it when you do that. You get all shaky.
Vicky, look sharp. We got us a real gentleman coming back over. Wearing himself a nice quality suit. Here he is, here he is, here. Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Excuse me, sir. If I may, just trouble the young lady for a moment.
What ails you, sir? For just $1, Miss Victoria will whisk it all away.
Mademoiselle, may I offer my most heartfelt regards?
Now, sir, what can we do?
I have no ailment, sir.
Oh, what now?
I merely wish to make the pleasure of the young lady's acquaintance. I am Dr. Canning Woodhull, and you are the most beautiful young woman I have ever seen.
Oh!
Thank you for brightening my day. With my compliments, sir.
Well, $10? Doctor? Doc? We're very pleased to make your acquaintance. Ain't we, Vicky? Looky here, Ma.
Well, he sure's handsome. Don't you think he's handsome, Vicky?
I have to go, Tenny.
Go where? Did you get a vision on him, Vicky?
It doesn't matter.
Vicky,
come with me, Tenny.
What did you see? Tell me.
I don't have time. I have to go.
But I
love you, Tenny. Always. Sir? Doctor?
What's that, little lady?
Dr. Woodhull, may I walk with you?
Well, I would be delighted.
Vicky.
A doctor. He is a doctor, yeah? Good girl, Vicky. Good girl.
Good luck, sister.
Well, well, well. It looks like we got us a new star, Miss Tennessee Claflin, the amazing wild child. Now, that's got a nice ring to it, if I do say.
I'll sure miss you.
The amazing wild child. With a new star ensconced in the wagon of fortunes and elixirs, the Claflin clan, minus one, continues wending their way across the back roads of the dusty Midwest. In parts quite far from there, at Plymouth Church in Brooklyn, New York, to be exact, the Reverend Henry Ward Beecher, renowned minister, orator, and abolitionist, inspires his flock of over 2,500 souls every week. The good Reverend embodies a welcome shift from his father's stern Calvinism to a more buoyant gospel of love.
It is love the world wants. It is love the world needs. Higher than morality, higher than philanthropy, higher than worship. Before all of these comes love.
Oh, Reverend.
Beecher's Sunday sermons draw both rich and famous, including the likes of soon-to-be President Abraham Lincoln.
No one in history has had so productive a mind as him.
Humorous Mark Twain was somewhat less complimentary.
Now, just take yourself a good long look at that man and imagine him sawing his arms in the air, discharging rockets of poetry, and exploding mines of eloquence. Why, when he's moving and talking, he sure is a handsome devil. But when he's just standing there, not doing anything at all, he is homely as a singed cat.
Homely as a singed cat.
Madam.
Forgive me. Carry on.
Into trying times we travel. 1856. Pro-slavery Missourians invade Lawrence, Kansas, and burn the Free State Hotel, two anti-slavery newspaper offices, and several homes and stores. The territory is being called Bleeding Kansas for the violent skirmishes there. A region smartly avoided by the former Vicky Claflin, wife at 15 and mother at 16, now traversing the continent as the United States tears itself in two.
Dear Tenny, you're an auntie. I named him Byron. I'm afraid he's not right in his head. The night he was born was so cold, there were icicles on the bedpost. Canning's hands were shaking, and he dropped him.
March 1857. Seven Supreme Court justices issue a decision against Dred Scott, stating that black people are not included and were not intended to be included under the word citizens in the United States Constitution.
Abraham Lincoln comes out of a self-imposed semi-retirement to speak out against this decision.
Dear Vicky, it's hard to write. Daddy keeps us moving. I wish you were here. Sometimes I wish I had a spirit like yours, even though I don't like him. I'm just about scared to death most of the time.
Dear Tenny, we're in San Francisco now. I'm a real actress here, and I like it. I'm very good. Canning's drinking an awful lot, and Byron needs so much. I love you, little sister. I know the spirits are lifting you right now, whether you believe in them or not.
1859. The last slave ship to land in the United States arrives at the port of Mobile, Alabama, carrying approximately 150 enslaved Africans. The importing of slaves has been illegal since 1808, for over 50 years. Not that anyone has paid that much mind.
Dear Vicky, I ache all over. Daddy has me curing cold sores to cancer, 13 hours a day.
He's decided you gotta burn the cancer out. He's making a salve that's just awful now. I tried to run away. I even got married. I never wrote you about it. Daddy found us and annulled the whole thing.
Election Day 1860. Abraham Lincoln wins a national majority of electoral votes. All from northern states exclusively.
Well, Mary, it seems I've won.
Immediately following the election, southern states began seceding from the Union.
April 1861. The Confederates have attacked Fort Sumter. Our country is at war.
It feels like the world is ending, Vicky. Where are you now? I haven't heard from you in so long.
September 13th, 1862. The Battle of Antietam. A soldier's report.
A day of rest. The final rest for how many? Bodies piled atop each other. Blue and gray both. Impossible to tell which. Both sides made meaningless by spilled blood. So much blood. 3 miles of dead men to bury. Tens of thousands of wounded waiting to be carried from the field.
September 22nd, 1862. President Lincoln signs his proclamation.
That on the first day of January, in the year of our Lord 1863, all persons held as slaves within any state shall be then, thenceforward, and forever free.
Free. July 1863. The Battle of Gettysburg. 51,118 wounded, captured, missing, or dead.
Vicky, Daddy rented an entire hotel in Ottawa, Illinois. I'm scared. He's drunk most of the time, and he won't let anyone else make the medicine.
The King of Cancer at your service, Miss Tennessee Claflin. The remarkable wild child and her powerful medicine coaxes the beasts of disease right out of your inside.
A lady died, Vicky.
Court documents state that Miss Claflin did feloniously and willfully kill, placing upon the breast of the deceased a quantity of caustic drugs, by means of which a large amount of flesh was wholly eaten away.
They charged me with murder. They may charge me with more soon. Daddy started that other line of business again, and I really need you, Vicky. Please come.
April 9th, 1865. Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrenders to Union General Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse. The Civil War is over.
Thank God, Mary. It's done.
April 14th, 5 days later, while attending a performance at Ford's Theater, President Abraham Lincoln is shot in the head by a Confederate supporter. The President of the United States is dead.
The worst war ever, we thought. Until the Great War. I tried to stop it. From 1914 on, no one listened. More young men's bodies and rivers of blood.
I read your calls for peace.
You did?
Of course. But your early life, madam. After the Civil War.
Tenny needed me, and then I met James.
And were you divorced from Dr. Woodhull?
That doesn't matter. Love exists outside laws made by men. We were married by the spirits. I remember it well, and I remember it truthfully.
Is that a fact?
Fact is a tiny, petty little word.
In need of funds for their journey ever eastward, the Woodhull family has paused to ply their trade in St. Louis, Missouri, where a most significant individual awaits his cure.
Colonel James Blood, spiritualist, fought for the Union, wounded right shoulder, March 1862, left arm 2 months later, then took 3 bullets in left thigh at Vicksburg. Outside the medic's tent, waiting, I heard men screaming as limbs were sawed off and bullets cut out of unanesthetized flesh. I crawled back to my own tent, poured whiskey over my wound, and dug the bullets out with my own hand.
Oh. Victoria Claflin Woodhull, also known as Madame Holland, magnetic healer and clairvoyant fortune teller, mother of Byron, feeble-minded, Ed Zulu Maud, perfect. Married, previously, to Dr. Canning Woodhull, drunk.
Madam, I've heard so much about you.
And I you.
Reports do not do you justice.
What are you wanting with me today, Colonel?
Right to the point. My wife...
Your wife?
...wished me to visit. She read that you offer cures of physical complaints by means of...
Clairvoyance. Yes. Do you doubt it?
I have the utmost respect for your talents, Mrs. Woodhull. If I may be so bold, I too communicate with the spirit world. My fallen comrades visit me, and their bravery is a source of comfort in this interminable earthly world.
They visit?
I only hope that the peace we have so recently found will continue, and that the equality of all colors of man shall spread to include the fairer sex as well. You are staring at me, Mrs. Woodhull.
My apologies, Colonel.
James.
James.
Does my appearance offend you?
Oh, of course not. Your wife is not here.
No.
Why have you come to me?
As you are well versed in medicine, both spiritual and physical, I shall not hesitate to speak frankly, with your permission, of course.
Please.
I sustained a number of wounds in the fighting. While most have healed, including those in my thigh, a particularly personal complaint persists in troubling me. I wonder if the source of this complaint may lie in the realm of spirit rather than body. Mrs. Woodhull?
Victoria.
Victoria?
James.
Mrs.
Mrs.?
Victoria.
Blood.
My God.
The gods smile upon us. Oh, married upon...
Mrs.
Blood. In my veins. Pounds. Rises. Oh, you rise, James. Your blood rises. Hands join. Our hands twine together. Oh, on my breast. The flaming imprint of your fingers. Oh, you are. I am. We are wed.
Mrs. Victoria.
What?
Victoria.
What? Colonel?
James.
James.
Your hands. So cold.
Oh, I was...
Yes.
What... You're staring at me, James? I must have spoken something extreme.
My dear Victoria, you just pronounced us husband and wife.
With Victoria's first husband and two young children in tow, the new lovers make their way to Chicago, Illinois, where they are found, finally, by a weary and frightened Tennessee.
Oh, Vicky. Oh, it's been all flood and nowhere to write you. We had to stop healing after that woman died, and then Daddy had me. He sent me up working.
Oh, Teddy.
Oh, I'm so tired, Vicky. And Daddy says we can't pay the rent. And so...
Hush. You're safe. You need a hot drink. James?
What? Who?
My husband, James Blood. Oh, he's good, Tenny.
You are most welcome here, Miss Tennessee. Your sister has missed you dearly.
Mr. Blood.
James, please.
We'll see.
Sisters at long last reunited, the rest of the Claflin clan is introduced to Colonel Blood.
And who is this? My husband, Colonel James Blood.
Wait now. What?
You got another husband?
Yeah, what happened to the doc?
I'm right here.
You can't have two husbands, that ain't right.
We were married by the spirits. Joined in an instant by powers of love.
Mr. and Mrs. Spirit? Claflin, it is a pleasure to meet you and your family.
Are you a doctor?
No, I'm not.
I did not think so.
Mama, be nice.
I don't like him.
You will.
And I don't like you.
Well, I don't like you.
Nah,
But I put food on your plate for years,
now,
didn't I?
Bickett, don't sass your
and
mama.
And I got you plenty to drink. And now I gotta do it all again.
Well, I sure hope so.
And so I don't care who any of you like.
Not a good girl.
Had Victoria Woodhull remained married to her first husband, the esteemed Dr. Canning Woodhull, she would have enjoyed a match made well above her class. A grubby, illiterate charlatan marrying a physician. A gentle, cultured man, a good provider, a loving father, and, before she ruined him, reportedly a handsome and charming individual.
Me? Handsome and charming. I like that.
I never left anyone behind, Zulu. I put food on their plates.
Papa.
And your grandparents, Utica.
Mama, you all tricked people instead of...
I'm cold.
But...
I need my wrap.
Of course. I'll be right back.
Turn on the radio.
There's only static.
Please.
Vic, The Life and Times of Victoria C. Woodhull, Future Presidentess, continues with Episode 3, Wall Street Aroused. Written by Maria Glanz, directed by Elizabeth Kloeb, with sound design by James Bigby Garver. For a full list of participating artists and future broadcasts, please visit UMO Ensemble at www.umo.org. Thank you to the National Endowment for the Arts, For Culture, Norcliffe Foundation, Horizons Foundation, and generous private donors.